Welcome to All the Way Authentic. I'm your host, Kevin P. Henry. Jerry Brewer is an award-winning veteran journalist who currently works as a sports columnist for the Washington Post. A graduate of Western Kentucky University, Jerry joined the Post in 2015 after over 8 years as a columnist with the Seattle Times. During his career, he also has worked at the Courier Journal in Louisville, Kentucky, the Orlando Sentinel, and the Philadelphia Inquirer. Jerry gives us a behind-the-scenes look at the sports media and also gives advice to those who might be interested in pursuing a career in the media. This is All the Way Authentic, and I'm your host, Kevin P. Henry.
We could just start off with, what inspired you to pursue a career in journalism, and how old were you when the light bulb went off, so to speak?
Well, my parents would tell you that they knew I was going to be some kind of writer when I was 5 years old. It was just what I was born to do. But I was 15, 16 years old when I realized that there was such a thing as sports journalism. There was a writer from the New York Times from my hometown of Paducah, Kentucky, named Thomas George, came back and he spoke to our high school. And I was just, he was such a powerful public speaker. He really sold the industry. And I said, that's it. I want to be just like Thomas George, except instead of covering the NFL, I wanted to cover basketball as my career. And I spoke to him after the class. He gave me just all the cheat codes. Go to this journalism camp. If you're serious about this, you need to do X, Y, and Z. So I befriended him, did everything that he told me to do as a mentor. And from really that day forward, from 1994 on, 30 years ago, I knew this was exactly what I wanted to do.
Wow. So as you pursued that career, were there challenges, or was it easy, or was it difficult? Did anything surprise you in particular as you made this journey?
Yeah, it's been a journey for certain. I've had a blessed journalism life. I always start by saying that, my road compared to others has been struggle. I wouldn't say struggle free, but it has been a lot smoother than other people's paths. And so I have to acknowledge just how blessed I've been, some of the privileges that I have enjoyed. Yet and still, there has been some times, right? Like, this was something that I wanted to do when I was a teenager. So there is a bit of a naivete involved, kind of a lionization of the profession that at times I've had some of that reality has knocked some of that out of me, that it isn't always as glamorous and as wonderful and as dreamy as you envisioned it when you were a teenager. The toughest thing for me is when I was 25 years old, I became the youngest sports columnist in America, one of the youngest ever to do it. That, to use a sports analogy, is like going from middle school to the NBA. it's a job that, to be quite honest, you probably shouldn't have until you're late 30s, early 40s, and that's if you're really good, because I think there's some life experience that helps you access certain points of view. And I think you need to have your viewpoints mature, or at least tested through time. I didn't have that. And that was the difficult path for me, that I didn't expect to be on that path. It was something that my boss said I could do. And he said, look, Jerry, it's the top writing job at the newspaper. You'll make more money in your career if you do this, if you're good at it, and you've got 24 hours to decide whether you want to do it. And I came back within 24 hours, more like 12 hours later. I was like, of course, I'm going to do this. And that's been the journey that I've been on for the last 21 years. And I always wanted to just tell stories about people. I wanted to write great feature stories, write about issues, write about understanding the world through people, as opposed to being more of a critic. And I've had to adjust to that, but it's the challenge of doing it. that keeps me going.
Well, so how would you describe yourself as an interviewer? Because, it takes a certain special skill, I think, to get people to open up sometimes. And sometimes, you see some journalists, especially I think in the last 20 years, where I think there's more pressure to be kind of entertaining or sensationalistic or whatever. Did you kind of take on a certain approach when you were about to sit down and do an interview with someone?
Yeah, everything about me, I'm curious. I'm thoughtful. I came out of the womb pensive. So I'm always wondering about things. And the great thing about being a journalist is you're not rude in asking those questions, those deeply personal questions. And I found that for me, journalism was a great socializer. It takes, it knocks a lot of the shyness out of me. I think there was a part of me that just would get annoyed by people in general. I think I was a little bit reticent to engage. And when you're a journalist, you can't be that way. And I found that just the one-on-one conversations, getting to share just a little bit of myself in order to bring out a whole lot of someone else, that was something that really attracted me. And then I got to go back and do what I enjoy doing, which is that solitary, those solitary moments of you and the story that you're trying to tell. But instead of it being something that was in my head, it was something that was the lived experience of someone else. And I had to honor their life in words. That's the way I've always, at its most simplistic, seen journalism. And that's something that I'm still passionate about. Even though I write opinion, I'm always looking for ways to where I'm able to break the genre a little bit and blend it with some other things. And to me, it always comes back to respecting a level of humanity and being able to portray that in a thoughtful way, to be able to write with compassion.
And so you've maybe to give us an idea of kind of the range of stories that you do, because I know you do these really long, tons of research involved type of features, but do you interview like athletes after a game or something when maybe they've just
Sure.
lost the game or just won the game, and maybe just talk about some of those experiences?
Yeah, I mean, in my journey, I've covered the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL, the Orlando Magic in the NBA as a beat writer, following them around every single day. I've been to so many Olympics. I think I've been to 10 Super Bowls. I think this will be my seventh Olympics in Paris this summer. Numerous Final Fours, like all the major events, thousands of sporting events, and more than that, hundreds, maybe even thousands of practices, where as soon as practice is over, you're talking to athletes and you're talking to coaches and you're talking to, if it's professionals, executives, college athletic directors, really just kind of forging and establishing those relationships. And some of those relationships have gone my entire career. I mean, there are people going back 30 years who will remember when I was a high school reporter. I still keep in contact with those people. I still keep in contact with people in my career. I've gone from Philadelphia to Orlando to Louisville to Seattle to the Washington Post. And throughout those five cities, there are still people that on a semi-regular basis I contact with. We love just having those conversations about how far all of us have come in our lives and in our careers.
And you mentioned the word relationship. So do, and this is kind of a general question, do coaches, managers, players generally like the media, or is it more of like, oh, this just comes with the territory, or does it just kind of vary from athlete to athlete or coach to coach?
Yeah, I think it starts with tolerance and you're hoping to, again, you're hoping to show them who you are so that they'll reciprocate. And I think that's important. These are difficult relationships. In order for you to do the job well, they have to become true relationships. It just can't be, I'm here to ask you questions, especially if you're working a beat, because you're going to ask them questions day in and day out. They're going to consume the content you're creating inevitably, even if they don't regularly read everything you write or follow everything you do on television or on the radio. Like, stuff gets back to them. If you happen to say something that they don't like, it complicates the relationship. Obviously, like, they don't like to be judged and be held accountable in that way. And so I think you have to reciprocate that accountability by coming to the table every day. You write something difficult, critical, you need to be back there the next day, having those conversations, letting them know that you try to be as fair as you possibly could be. If they feel like you weren't fair on that particular day, you need to hear them out. You got to have skin that's just as thick as their skin is. And I think they respect the fact that you're just trying to do your job to the best of your ability. In sports, the thing I love about sports, the thing that has kept me doing this job for so long, is it's a business of striving. Even when you win, you're going back and you're reviewing film and you're trying to get better. When you lose, you're trying to move on and get a little better the next day. I think it's the same thing in dealing with the people in the business. Like, they respect that off the field. Like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to really understand the way that I coach or the way that I play? When things don't go right, are you trying to get a little bit better? It's a business of conflict. And every day there's a little bit of conflict, and conflict doesn't always have to be negative. Sometimes conflict is healthy.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking, because I was kind of flashing back on like just memorable tirades and tantrums. And I just, my mind went to, you probably remember this, the Hal McCray
Oh,
thing
yes.
where he's, I don't know what the guy asked him, but he did this thing he kind of whirled around in his office and threw the phone or something. And the reporter got hit in the head or something. And people, so then I think the camera kind of cuts to a bunch of reporters like running out of his office or something like that. But I would imagine you don't have to mention names, but you probably had some people that have had some meltdowns and you just have to show up to work the next day, right?
Oh, yes. I've had someone, like, face to face, like, screaming at me, all kinds of different intimidation tactics. I've had owners literally staring at me from across the room, as if to have me, like, fearful of my own, of their shadow, right? Of their glare, all kinds of things, people calling my boss, on and on. That is what the profession is. Not every day is difficult. I think most relationships I've been able to manage quite well. And I think some of the most critical things I've written have produced some of the best conversations I've had with people. I reach a new level of understanding. So there is a power to the pen, and there is a fear factor that the pen has. I think the key for us in this business is to get past the generalization of quote unquote the media, to where we're just all faceless people who are out to get them. You have to get past that wall. And once you're able to get past that wall, the key is for you to see them as a human being. And then for you to allow them, in the way that you carry yourself, for them to see you as a human being. And then when you have that kind of reciprocity, that's when a relationship is able to endure whatever it is that each of us have to do our jobs. Now, there's sometimes when you don't like it because this person that you trusted had to tell you a lie or a half truth, or they knew what was going on, but they didn't tell you. You have to go beyond that. And then sometimes there's times where you're just telling the absolute truth. It paints them in the worst possible light, and they have to get over it.
Well, I know that you've been around for a while, so and you've seen some changes in the media, and I guess the thing that comes to mind immediately is just the internet, really, because I mean, I when I was when I was in journalism school and just getting out of college, we had the paper arrived every morning. You sit down and you flip through page after page. There was no internet, and even if you turned on TV, you had the 5 o'clock news and you had the 11 o'clock news, and nowadays, you can just get online or get on your phone. So What kind of changes have you seen, and what have been the good changes and maybe the bad trends that have happened as well?
Sure. I mean, media being information transmitted through a medium means that technology dramatically changes the industry every time there's technological advances. When I first got into the business, it was very much a slow moving daily type of business, right? Like you knew the newspaper was going to come out in the morning and it was going to be laid out and produced at night. So on a daily story, they would like for you to get your story in at 6 o'clock if it's not a live sporting event. A lot of times I'd stretch that to 8 o'clock and it was fine. Nowadays, because of the internet, because of social media and other platforms, we are constantly transmitting information, constantly putting things out there. So the metabolism has changed. You have to get things out quicker, but then you have to be just as accurate. Because you're doing things more quickly, it lends itself to more mistakes. And so you need to admit your mistakes when you make them and be honest with people, correct, and move forward. A lot of that's changed the industry. I think the business model is just shattered, right? Like the way that newspapers through advertising, television, radio, all those being ad-based, that's all changed. And we haven't, most places haven't found a sustainable model, especially local journalism, that's gonna like give you a future, right? Like when I got into this business, if you're a newspaper and you weren't doing like a 20% profit margin, you didn't know what you were doing, right? Like it was that publishers would tell you that it was like printing money, you know? I mean, it almost sounded like they were NFL owners, right? Of course you want to buy into this thing because you're gonna make money every year. And then if you ever sell the thing, you're going to sell it for way more than you ever bought it for. Like that was sort of the mentality that news was undefeated. The people need to be informed. Of course, everyone wants to come advertise with us. Like we are the king. It's not that way. I mean, a lot of prominent news organizations are diminished, and a lot of local markets, major local markets, they used to have three or four newspapers, five newspapers. A lot of times now you have one that's hanging on for dear life. And so that's changed, right? Like in something always is going to fill a vacuum. And so there's been this democratization of news where instead of it being company driven, sometimes it's even individual driven. And it's sort of like the evolution of blogs, right? Like people have become their own mini media companies. And you have to decide whether they're credible enough to trust separate from a traditional brand. And so all of those things have changed. In sports in particular, who's telling the stories, right? Like, if you have a right-wing ideology, there are sports sites that you can go to for that. If you want to look at sports through black lens, you can go to Anscape, ESPN's Black sports and culture site. If you want to look at sports just through a female lens, like there are many sites and many more developing now that we're in a huge moment for women's sports. If you obviously if you're a left-leaning person, there are sites that are far more left-leaning, although like the average predominantly white male sports fan would tell you that the mainstream media has always been left of them anyway, right? So there are all these places that you can go. And the challenge, though, becomes like, are you in a place that's just simply centering news based in reality better for you? Or are you in an echo chamber where like there isn't just a good, healthy diet of all kinds of news and all kinds of perspectives. Like that's what's changed more than anything. I think there a lot of journalism, like a lot of things in America, politics, is more identity based, which is way different than the way that we traditionally were taught it. We were taught to, check your identity at the door because that was part of being unbiased and objective.
Yeah, I remember those days. Like, keep your opinion out of it. That's the editorial section if you want to write an editorial. So, as a person of color or a media reporter, writer of color, I know there's kind of a, I guess you can call it a shortage, maybe, of people of color just in the journalism business, in the newsrooms, that kind of thing. Are things a lot better, or are there still certain challenges that you face, or other journalists of color face, or are things going pretty well progressively?
Well, I think what happens when you see the media industry having tons of layoffs, a lot of the diversity of these different newsrooms suffer because of that. All of a sudden, when you're bare bones, like these initiatives and the things that used to matter, all of a sudden don't. And you look and you see that minority groups, female, African American, so on and so forth, are disproportionately affected. And I think, and then every media company wants to say, like, hey, give me a break. We just had a round of layoffs. We did the best that we could. So it feels like some of the progress that we've made has experienced a bit of regression just because we've had an attrition in numbers, and we haven't really figured out how to recalibrate that. And we haven't figured out, can the business model sustain some of our values? And if they can't, we're in a load of trouble. Now, in terms of opportunity, when I talk about the democratization of news, there are different specialty sites where you don't necessarily have to be in a predominantly white male newsroom that's always going to have that certain kind of sensibility. There are more opportunities out there if you want to try to do something that's different than the norm. The question becomes, are those startups, in essence, sustainable? Or is this just a moment in which they're able to raise just enough money for just enough period of time? Can you build a business around it? Like, that becomes a big question. But even if things were going, Kevin, at the rate that they were when we were talking 20, 30% profit margins, you would still have the issue of, are we truly a marketplace of ideas, or are we always centering our ideas through a certain kind of temperament, a certain kind of lens? And I think that's still the fight, right? Whether you're at the New York Times, at the Washington Post, at the Seattle Times, at the Paducah Sun in Kentucky, where I started, a news business is supposed to be that marketplace of ideas, not in bad faith, but in good faith. And how do you represent a diverse community? You can never stop working on that enough. And even when you think you're doing a good job in one area, there's another area that's misrepresented. And you can choose to be sensitive about it, or you can choose to do something about it. And I think that's one thing that people never forget or never quite acknowledge about equality. When you're trying to balance something, it's like walking across a balance beam. Like, you're constantly having to adjust your weight and readjust just to get across, just to stay balanced so you don't fall off. It is a forever process. And just like in other aspects of America or in other aspects of the world, people often wonder in media, when is enough? Are we diverse enough? Well, the answer is no. And the people who can't accept that get really pissed off. But the people who live in reality understand that is our challenge. That is our mission.
So this is my last question. What would you tell a young, could be a high school student, college student, who's really thinking, I think I want to do what Jerry's doing? What type of advice would you give them in terms of just what kind of skills, what type of temperament you need, those kinds of things that would hopefully ensure a likelihood of success for that person.
The number one skill that a journalist must have is curiosity. You need to wonder why things are the way that they are. If you see a water main that's broken, you just can't say, "Oh, water main's broken. Let me move on with the rest of my life." Like the journalist is always wondering, how did that happen? When is someone coming to fix it? What do you have to do when a water main breaks in order to get, the city out to fix it, right? And how does that fit into the city's budget and all this? Like your mind can go a million different places. That is a journalist's mind. It's based in curiosity. The second thing, regardless of what medium you prefer, you want to do digital media where you're doing a little bit of everything, and you are flowing with the new technologies. You want to be a print journalist, newspaper, magazine, et cetera, et cetera. You want to be television, you want to do radio. You got to be able to write. The written word is the purest form of communication. The written word is the purest form of communication. It is how we take all of these things that are jumbled up in our brain and we're able to organize them so that we can relay the message in the clearest manner possible. It's critical. You have to be able to write for television. You're not just going to be Ron Burgundy reading the teleprompter. You have to be able to write in all forms. So understand that. That's like that. That's really, really important. The third thing, which you could consider the first thing, you got to value the truth. And you got to value the truth, whether it's LeBron James telling you why he made that shot or committed that turnover, or whether it's the president of the United States, telling you that he won or lost the election, why he won't concede, right? Like, no matter how seemingly innocuous it is or how important it is, like you have to value the truth. If you are, if you want to be a film critic, film critics have to value the truth. If you want to be a business writer, if you want to be an entertainment reporter, all of that, like the truth is the most important thing. And we're using that curiosity to pursue the truth. And it is our sacred mission to go after that. And the thing about the truth is, it is elusive. And the thing about the truth is, you don't get it all sometimes in one swoop. You have to be persistent and you have to continue to dig and dig and dig. There's never enough that you can know. And so you have to remember that and value that. And it kind of leads me to the last thing. It's just great journalists are persistent. You don't take no for an answer. I can't tell you how many great stories I've done where someone has declined to be interviewed at least five times. I think my high was like 21. 21 no's. Got the interview. Turned out to be someone who was a friend, a friend that whose funeral that I went to later in life. Trust, you can't assume that everyone is going to trust you. And so much in this business is you're trying to create a relationship out of nowhere, which is about as hard as going to speak to the opposite sex or whoever you're interested in out of nowhere to get them interested in you. How you do that, like requires, sometimes it requires like a courage, and then sometimes it just requires a doggedness. And you don't have to be unprofessional and being dogged, but respecting boundaries, you still shouldn't take like that first no as an answer.
Well, it's very similar to some of the stories I've even heard from musicians. Like, I remember there was this one singer named Gino Vannelli, who I think is still around, and he was talking about like showing up at A&M Records like day after day, trying to get Herb Albert, and he wound up following him in the parking lot, and you know, just it was just that persistence. And finally, it's almost like, fine, I'll listen to your song, you know. And he goes in and he walks out with a record deal. But if he hadn't been that persistent, but there's also, I think, a certain amount of self-esteem and confidence. So because a lot, you know, it's like being an actor. Most actors probably don't get part, you know, in their careers until they're really big. So you have to get used to a lot of no's, and you can't take it personally. But I still think that if you do believe in yourself and you have that healthy ego, you can say, okay, fine, he said no 19 times. Well, let me try one more time. So I think that's great advice. Anything you'd like to add as we close out here that I haven't asked or that you just want to share?
Yeah, I that the process to become a journalist starts today. Like, you don't need permission, especially in this day and age, right? Like, even though I work at the Washington Post, I'm a big believer in the value of all forms of journalism, even if it's citizen journalism. You don't have to be a part of some mega media company to go out and be a truth teller. If you're curious, if you value the truth, if you want to learn how to be a great transmitter of information, you can be a journalist. And so start today. I tell you, one of this, it's a really stupid movie and probably a movie that Richard Pryor never should have done. People might remember a movie called The Toy.
Yes. With Jackie Gleason, I think.
Yes. And so it was basically this father and his son, who were white, the father had it because he was so busy all the time. He had a difficult time having a relationship with his son. So he spoiled his son. And he basically told his son when they would go out in a toy store, like, you know, whatever you want, you can have. And Richard Pryor's character was working in the store or doing something in the store. And he was really funny. And the kid said, well, I want him. And so he had to pay Richard Pryor and convince him to be his son's favorite toy. And they become friends and they go on this mission. But I mentioned this because they decided, you know, on the grounds of that mansion to create a newspaper. And he wound up calling the kid Scoop, and they went around and they got the scoop about, like, all of the dirty family secrets and everything. And I loved that part of the movie, just probably because of just the journalist in me, right? Like, that here he was, like, learning valuable information about his family. And it became kind of controversial that he was transmitting this information. But that's a journalist, right? Like, whether it's at your high school paper or your middle school, if your middle school or high school doesn't have a paper, why don't you start something yourself? Why don't you do a blog? Like, certainly when you are in the collegiate level, get out there and get in the practice of doing. Like, this is, there's certain ethics that you have to learn, and there's certain, there's an academic quality to what we're doing. But it's also a trade. Nothing beats experience. And so if you even have an inkling that this is something that you might like to do, be like the little kid and his friend in the toy and start your news organization today.
Great advice. I'd like to thank my guest, Jerry Brewer, for being on All the Way Authentic.